because we're afraid they're going to die. We see death as a fearful and finality thing.
And you're never going to die.
Come on.
Ah! That's pretty powerful. And if you really believe it, you'll never pray because of fear, and you'll never pray because of the problem. You'll pray because of the promise and the answer and the gift of life. And you'll always pray from the perspective of relationship, fellowship, and communion with God. It's a fearless place. Why would you have authority over something you fear? So you speak to the mountain and you use all the right Christian principles and you say all the right things and wonder why nothing's changing. Wonder if your motive in praying is fear and you're on the run and you've reduced intimacy and relationship to principles. You guys with me? You're thinking, I can tell you're thinking. Come on. And now we have our little promise book out and we know all our covenant rights, so we're quoting them all from the place of desperation and fear. And you have no authority over what you fear. None. You know its cancer strategy is to gain notoriety and hurt everybody in the room some way or another so that when its name's mentioned, you revere it because it has history and testimony in your life. And that when its name's mentioned, its name is a name of power and fear and dread and death. And all of a sudden we're trying to cry out Jesus' name to intervene. And we're saying, well, your name's above every name. And you're already proving this name has great pull on you. And now you're reduced to a Christian language instead of a revelation of who He really is and what He's accomplished. See, the Lord said to me years ago, He said, Dan, why do people die of secondhand smoke? Only You know, Lord. Guess what He said? It's so profound. He's so profound. He said, why do men die of secondhand smoke? And I'm like, because He was teaching me that men are vulnerable in the world in which we live, and that vulnerability is fear. He said, I created you just to subdue the earth, and the perversion is you're being subdued by it. He said, it's the fall of man. You're being subdued by the earth you live in. And men have more natural knowledge than they have covenant knowledge. So we study everybody else's experience, and we all feel like we're in line. So instead of just eating healthy, we eat preventative. Why? Because we're next in line. We're vulnerable. We think we're in position. Because we're on the earth and we forget we're in Him. Come on, it's a topic nobody wants to talk about because the church teaches on eating preventative. Eat healthy. And if you have a conscience to not put something in your body, don't. But why are you eating preventative? What you're saying is, I'm vulnerable. I'm next in line. This could be me. And we say to think otherwise is presumptuous and a lack of wisdom. But if you read the gospel in the covenant, there's no fear in Him. And that's not subduing, that's being subdued. You're in the world and not greater is He that's in me than he that's... And I understand people have used these scriptures presumptuously and overzealously and without relationship. But wonder if they're real. So He said, why do people die of secondhand smoke? And I went, I don't know. He said, they believe they can. That's deep. It's really deep. Watch. We Christians believe that the air we breathe is detrimental to us, but we sing He's the air we breathe.
Boy, that's religious.
He said, why do people die of secondhand smoke? I said, only you know. He said, because they believe they can. He said, Dan, it's the strategy of cancer and some major diseases on the earth to gain such a notoriety and cause so much hurt and loss and pain that nobody's untouched by it. And that when its name is mentioned, it's revered and honored through the fear of men. And then they cry my name out in fear of the disease as a method and a principle with a cross-finger hope that it's changed because it has hurt so much. And its design is to become more powerful than my name in their sight. Now that would be Satan's decree, wouldn't it? I'll rise above God and I'll sit on the throne and I'll rule from that place. Well, where does he want to sit? Right here in your mind and emotions. What's the highest place of man? Where does he want to rule from? So even though he got flicked out of heaven to the earth, he says, I'll sit on the thrones of men's souls and I'll be God to them from that place. And I'll keep them in derision and fear and circumstances. And I'll get them to only pray for their sake because they're desperately afraid. I don't know how I got on all that, but boy, it's enlightening. Fear is not the kingdom of God.
Come on.
Fear is not even normal. Fear is the fall of man deluxe. Jesus came time and time again and said, fear not, through angels and through his own person. Fear not, fear not. Preachers have said they've studied out the fear nots and do not be afraid and found it 365 times in the Bible. I've never done it, but preachers have said they've done it. And it's 365 times to fear not and don't be afraid. That means every day.
There's a fear not for every day of the year. That's strategic. If God did it in there 365 times, he's making a statement. That every day you can find a fear not. Every day you can find a be not afraid. If it was 364, you might think one of those days you could probably be afraid because you used all your other ones up. But on that last day, you can pull out the card. Be thou not afraid. Isn't that sweet? You have not been given the spirit of but of power, love. Let me just say what that says. A fixed and transformed mind. It doesn't relate to what you were before he came. A sound mind is a fixed and changed mind that sees through truth and not the way you used to see. New creation. All things are new. Get it? You guys okay? Okay, got to wrap up here soon. If any man's in Christ, he's new creation. Old things have passed away. What have they? They have passed away. Don't be afraid to proclaim that. You say, yeah, but brother, that wouldn't be truth. That'd be hypocrisy because the truth is I still this and I still that. Man, you fix your heart on this and you let grace change you. Learn how to let grace change you. I didn't go in a room and pray that I'll never be the same and God never again will this and this because I proved it through my life. Man, I proved it in my heart. It was my desire. I didn't ever again want to be those things. So I declared it out to God that they would never be mine again. And a lot of preachers would have said, Dan, you got to calm down. You can't pray that way. Everybody has their moments. Well, because you believe that, you have yours. When are you going to be bold enough to believe God's greater than your experiences?
Come on.
And that His grace has the ability to change what's normal to you. We've hurt ourselves in the church. We have studied a fallen man so much that we've preached from him instead of from him. And then when somebody's really okay, we think they're in denial. There's preachers out there that say, be careful of those folks that are just always okay in your church. And put on that Sunday face. I'm good, brother. You need to get them brothers alone and say, now we're alone. How are you really doing? And what we're implying in that teaching is that you can't be okay. It's tragic. So I'm either the most deceived man you ever met and I need serious help now. Or I'm all right. I'm banking on all right. All my chips are over here on all right. Now time will tell, but I'm banking on all right. But it's one or the other. I like those odds. You're either seeking Jesus in your bedroom and you're one of two things. You're either whacked and need to get a life and wasting your time. Or he's real and he'll meet you there and he'll increase your understanding and your revelation of intimacy. It's one or the other. There's no in between in the gospel. You're either in your bedroom accomplishing nothing and wasting your time and living a mirage. Or he's there. It's one or the other. I like those odds. I'd rather have it that than a whole bunch of things in the middle. I either need to get a life and he ain't real, or he is real and I'm getting to know him. One of those two things are happening in the bedroom. I'm either in delusion or I'm in him. I'm banking on him. Amen? Yeah. So all things are new. Now watch. Now all things, the all things that are new, all things are new. Peter describes all things pertaining to life and godliness. All things pertaining to life and godliness. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things, the things that have become new, are of God. So whose doing is it? It's God's doing. He said he predestined us in Romans 8 to be conformed to the image of his Son. He said,
who he predestined, he called. Who he called, he justified. Who he justified, he glorified. He's talking about us, filling us with the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. That's how he glorifies man. He says, what shall we say to these things if he is for us? Who can possibly be against us? What it's saying is, this is all his idea. He loves us and knows who we are. He's initiated it. He's done it before the foundation of the world. He saw it. And he'll never change his mind. Come on, if he sent the Son and slayed him before the foundation of the world, why would he change his mind about you now? If he knew you from the beginning. Love never fails. So all things are of God. Watch. Who has reconciled us. He made you friends. He reconciled you. He's not reconciling. He has reconciled you. To himself through Jesus Christ. Because he already died and rose. Now watch. And he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. You say, well, I want to get a ministry. You've got one. It's the ministry of reconciliation. But watch this. If you don't live reconciled, you're not thinking reconciliation. If you're not thinking Jesus loves me, this I know, you're not seeing his love for people. Come on, that's not rocket science. That's not heavy. Come on, if you're not reconciled, you're not thinking reconciliation. Wonder if you are reconciled. Then you know every man can make peace with God. And that God is drawing every man unto himself. Why? Because he died for all. And I'm alive in him. And if I live, then I don't live for myself, but him that died. And I'm going to lay down my life for others. Amen? So watch this. He's given us, so we all have a ministry. We don't have a 501c3 or whatever it is, but we all have a ministry. What's the ministry? Reconciliation. He explains it. That is, that God was in Christ. This is his earthly ministry. What he was doing was he was revealing. Every time he healed, every time he delivered, every time he preached good news, what was he saying? God's not mad at you. God loves you. In spite of your actions, your deceptions, in spite of whatever, he's come to make things new. Every time somebody was healed, God loves you. He's not mad at you. He's for you, not against you. It was God through Jesus reconciling the world, saying, I want to be friends with you. I want to make peace with you. I love you. Did you get it? That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. How was he doing that? Not imputing their trespasses to them. He wasn't saying, you disqualify. He was saying, I make you qualify. I know the truth about you. And if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. He knows that light's going to expose darkness. So he sent the light of the world. Oh, it's really good news, man. See what's wrong with me? I believe this. I really do. This is so just not an Easter story. Like, well, in April, we're going to say, wow, God, thanks for sending your son. I'm not against Easter. But, oh my goodness, don't let it be an Easter story. God was not imputing their trespasses to them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So guess what he's saying? You're not supposed to impute their trespasses either. You're supposed to look past them and love them the way Jesus loved us in the name of reconciliation. To show them that, hey, God really is for you. God loves you. God cares about you. People say, well, you don't know. I've been doing a lot of things I shouldn't be doing. And I feel uncomfortable praying right now. She answered some convictions. You'll have a lot of things out there when you talk to folks. You say, listen, that's awesome. I'm glad you have those convictions. And you're like, yeah, but I haven't done anything. I understand, but he hasn't changed. Just give me your hand. God wants to love you.
And let His goodness give you a greater grace and ability to change. Because His goodness is what leads you to repentance. I'm glad you've been dealing with certain convictions. I'm glad you have the life enough inside of you to see it for what it really is. But you're telling me you haven't gone over the hump. But He loves you, not because you've gone over or not going over the hump. Because He made you special and precious. Come on, let's pray. Bam! What are you doing? You're not imputing it against them, saying, oh, wow, you need to clean that up, brother, and maybe God will touch you. I've had people say to me, well, I had one guy specifically say, well, I have one problem with everything you're saying right now. There's one problem. And I said, what? He said, I don't believe any of what you're saying. And I didn't even blink. I said, well, man, we don't have a problem. I believe. Now give me your hand. It's okay. I didn't ask you to believe. I just asked you to pray. See, I wasn't trained and grown up in that truth. I thought when he says that, he's disqualified. I used to think when he says that, he can't receive nothing from God, that he has to believe. No. I have the ministry of reconciliation. See, yeah, but he's dabbling in witchcraft. So? I wish he wasn't, but he is. Doesn't mean God can't come and break through and love him, right? Yeah, but I don't want to take his hand. He's into witchcraft. Well, if you're afraid, I probably would tell you not to take his hand. But I'd really encourage you to get over your fear and take his hand. Because what you fear is what comes upon you. That's what happened to Job. What he feared the most came upon him. He looked like a righteous man giving alms to God every day, and really what he was doing was fearing for his kids. What he feared came upon him. Well, gotta learn from this stuff. So what do you have? The ministry of reconciliation. Why? Because you've been reconciled. That means you're not a servant, you're not a slave, you're a friend. Jesus loves me, this I know. And the Bible told me so. He died for me. What else could it mean? You love me. It's settled. Done deal. Life never again has the power to talk me out of it. My own performance can't. His love will change my life. Do you get it? It's really important if you're going to walk in love. To be loved is what makes you become loved. There's a lot of people out there today. I have a few concerns about it. They see my buddy Todd doing videos, so everybody's out with their cell phones praying for the sick and recording it, posting it. We better be careful we don't miss the point. People aren't subjects. People aren't potential testimonies. People aren't your platform for showcasing how God's using you. People are to be loved. Todd did a few videos, I know this personally, because his heart with tears was always the intent to show the church it was possible and God would use anybody, even a 22-year crack addict.
Come on.
If he just believed so. And even though he didn't see tangible results for a long time, he never changed his mind and just kept praying for people. And he's a great testimony. He's a great pioneer in something. If you say, well, he's gifted, I guess we all are, huh?
Amen.
If you just say he's gifted, you're going to rob yourself. Wonder if he just loves.
Come on.
Wonder if he's loved and it translates into love. Wonder if he's gifted is a distraction from the real truth that his heart's been changed. And the gift has a place to settle. Christ gives gifts to men. Amen?
Amen.
So wonder if the greatest of these is... Whoa. I want to have more faith. Faith, hope, and love. These three remain. But the greatest? Yay. So I just want to encourage you in closing, man. Continue in the love of God. Continue in receiving His love. Don't let anything veil your face. If there's one thing in your life that's keeping you from going to Him, it's the biggest deception in your life. If God came while you were yet a sinner, why would you let anything keep you from His presence now? You were enemies and alienated by the wicked way our minds work. Self-centered, perverse, all that. You were enemies and alienated by your minds, the way they worked. Yet now He's reconciled you through the death of His Son to make you and present you holy, blameless, and above reproach. If indeed, Colossians chapter 1, if indeed you continue in this hope and don't let anything talk you out of it. What's He literally saying? Through Jesus, right now, you stand holy, blameless, acceptable, without reproach, if indeed you believe it, don't let anything change what you believe, because He did it. So every day you wake up, you present yourself and make yourself a good tree in His sight. God, thank you. And it gets so to a point where you don't have to go through a prayer procedure. It becomes your reality. And you just wake up a good tree. You just know you're a good tree. You know you're loved. You don't have to recite it. You know it. You get it? And that's what changes your life. So today, even today, and pastors have shared this, and I'm cool with it. Power and Love, I was with Power and Love for 4 years. We did it all the time. We taught sessions, then we released them out to lunch and into the public, and we told them to be conscious of just looking for an opportunity just to springboard themselves into something they're created for. You're not doing it because you're looking for a testimony. You're not just exploiting sickness. You're not the pack of lions looking for the lame gazelle. Because we're talking this way, you'll just automatically see the need of humanity. When I first started preaching this way years ago, I had a lady call me. I was at their church for a weekend, and she pulled the whole thing together. And she called me a couple days after I left. She was crying hard on the phone. And I said, "Hey, what's going on?" She said, "There is sick people everywhere." And I said, "Honey, they were always there. You're just seeing them now like never before, and it's trying to overwhelm you. You're not everybody's answer, but your love for someone.
Come on.
You can't meet the need of humanity, but you sure can love the one. Don't feel like you've got to take everybody you see aside, but start somewhere and love somebody." I said, "You're seeing them? Honey, they were always there."
They didn't all of a sudden get sick. And God didn't all of a sudden channel them in front of you.
You just weren't seeing them like you see them now. So rejoice. Start loving somebody. And her husband, they love people often. He prays for people at his work all the time. Works for the post office. And they come to the counter. "Hey, how are you doing? Hey, can I just have your hand?" On the job. Boom. So it's real simple. Be you. Don't be mechanical. Don't come up with lines. Don't sit there and think, "Okay, I got to say this, got to say this." Just be real. "Hey, man, what's going on? Looks like you're hurting. Looks like you see somebody." I've seen handicap stickers in cars already in the parking lot. And they're pulled up to the blue sign. And they're getting out or getting in. You say, "Hey, excuse me, ma'am. I'm just curious. I realize you're handicapped parking. What's going on?" What? Some people will be like, "What? Why do you care?" They won't totally understand. "Oh, listen, don't." And you'll have to walk through that. Most people will just tell you their stuff. "Man, I noticed you're really limping across the parking lot. Did you hurt your knee, your hip? What's going on?" It's not that you have a word of knowledge. You just see that they're hurt. "Oh, man, I'll tell you what I did, man. I this, I that. It's been messed up for a while. I thought I'd get over it, and it's just hurting, man. Why, you really saw me favoring it?" "Yeah, I thought, listen, man, there's a reason. I'm not just nosy. I'd love to pray for you. Man, I believe Jesus is real. I don't know what you believe in. I'm not even asking you to believe anything." You can talk that direct to people sometimes and just say, there's no right and wrong. It's you be the best you and let grace land and watch what happens. The worst that can happen probably is they'll say, "Leave me alone." Boy, you've lost a lot. No. Actually, your heart goes, "Ah." Oh, because you know your heart and intention is pure. And you don't take it personal. "Boy, I just got rejected." What are you talking about? You didn't do it for you, did you? You did it for them. Why are you rejected? So you got to deal with those feelings. They're perverse feelings. They pull you into a wrong motive. How can anybody reject you when you love them?
Well, God's a pretty rejected fella.
He's the best papa that ever was, and not everybody's running to his lap to sit. He doesn't need a parenting program. But Not everybody's running to be loved. That doesn't mean he's not loved. Come on. So you be the best representation. Let God work out that stuff. You stay sincere and upright. So today, in your day, purpose to just look for an opportunity to love on somebody, especially if it's new to you. Especially if you're being convicted or challenged by it. Don't let it be a ministry thing. Don't think, oh boy, I got to do this or I'm not a valid Christian. No, God, you love me and you've reconciled me to you and you've given me the ministry of reconciliation. So every time I show interest in somebody or show somebody their value or pay attention to somebody, it's that same ministry showing them, hey, God loves them in spite of what they don't understand or where they are or aren't. Jesus loves you through my life. Did you get it? I remember at a salad bar one time and I'm like, are you serious, Lord? Wow. Because I looked at this guy, and this guy was ripped, man. I mean, he was ripped. And he had, well, he had a scary tattoo in the natural sense. I mean, not that I was like, ooh. But I'm just, it made him intimidating looking. And it made him, and I was like laughing. I was like, are you serious, Lord? So this is the guy you want me to say this to? And this is funny. I'm not intimidated. I'm not telling you. I was like, oh my God. Because it's just outward stuff. So what if he isn't? So what if he's the baddest man in the land? What's that mean? So I slid over to him getting a salad, and it was neat because when I talked to him, he was so polite and he was so accepting and he was so nice. And I said, hey, ma'am. I said, I'm not going to try to weird you out, but I said, Ben, I said, you are one ripped dude. And he laughed. And I said, I'm sorry to have to exploit that, but I said, there's a thing I need to share with you. He said, what do you mean? I'm just going to be honest with you, man. I don't know what you believe about the Lord, but I'm a Christian and he's real to me. And he showed me something about your life. Really? I began to share with this dude. I mean, he's standing there with this plate and he's like, and he looks intimidating. But he was as nice as could be. But he looked intimidating. Till I got done sharing, he's got tears in his eyes. He said, sir, that's my dream. I said, well, it's really not your dream. It's God's dream. And he wants you to know today that you're not chasing the stars. That God's going to make it happen. There's a place to submit to him and surrender like never before. Sir, he loves you. It's not about you fulfilling your dream. He put a dream in your heart. But he doesn't want the dream fulfilled apart from the revelation and the knowledge of his love and his grace. And God sent me over here to tell you your dream. That I knew it was in your heart. Because it came from him. He was wrecked. Because without that, he'd go pursue his dream and it's just his dream. When he saw it was God's dream, he realized God's intimate, God's personal. This non-assuming fellow walks up to him and talks to him, has a little fun with him, talks about him being ripped. And boy, if I didn't know the Lord real well, I'd be afraid to talk to you, buddy. I would think you'd put me on that plate. Make me fit too. But I just had him laughing. And then when I shared his dream, toast. Seriously. Big, buffed, ripped man crying at the salad bar. Oh, I love it. Like, that's the kingdom of God. So we just stood right there and prayed. And I hugged him. It was fun. We left the restaurant waving. He's like, man. You know what that'll do to somebody? It triggers their heart. It makes them curious. It makes them, this God, who's this God that I saw in this man that told me my dream? Did I do that to be a hero? Did I do that to qualify? Did I do that to minister? I did it because I already qualify. I'm not under any pressure.
I love Jesus and I love you.
And if God shows me something like that, it's fun. Was I sitting there straining to hear it? No, I just went up for salad and went, really? Whoa, that's a big dude.
Or tapped one of his muscles. I was still 3 feet away from him. Hey, dude. Yeah? I'm telling you, it was a big dude. You guys get the point?
We say it all the time when we did Power and Love, and they still say to Power and Love, we don't have to do this. We get to. The joy of being loved by God and loving others. I'm telling you, your life is such a rut when you're trapped in a self-centered perspective of Christianity. That's such a bummer. When it's just all about you catching a break, you, what you can receive. It's just, ugh. You get that out of you and get what He's really in you for. Life is fun. It's an adventure. And you're not under pressure to perform. You've become something that has an expression. You get it? So if you continue to grow in this and go out and love somebody today, that's awesome. I would encourage it. But at the same time, I'm saying, please don't just let it become who you are in the sense of take the place of your identity in Christ. Keep growing in love. Commune with God. Get the veil off. And as this is growing, it'll just express this way freely. There's a place to jumpstart you. There's a place to step out. We always encourage people to make an effort to step out of their feelings themselves and stop saying, well, I don't feel led. Or usually it's just self-consciousness and apprehension. So step through the feeling. Say, hey, excuse me.
Even if you're trembling a little.
It's okay. That's probably good if you're trembling a little because there's humility in you. And it's not overconfidence and you're not just going in your ministry strategy. It's probably better. Amen? So, I honestly believe in closing for the third time that that this is exactly how we're going to see our culture influenced and touched and changed. And I believe this is the essence of sustained revival. It's not some mysterious outpouring of God that we're afraid is going to leave. It's our hearts alive in Him. And people getting touched by that life. So, in my understanding of what I see God's strategy to be, every geographical location is vital. And every town and every group of people is important. I have purposely traveled to places where they've told me no one has ever come to preach. And I've gone into some little towns in the last 2 years on purpose. Because their town matters.
Hallelujah.
And it's fun. And I get feedback and pastors and they cry and they talk because they have little towns and they're intimate towns and people know each other. In some of those towns, it can happen really quick. There's a strategy there. Yep. I have some neat stories I could tell you. I won't take the time or I'll be closing again and again. But I'm just telling you, it's our privilege to be filled with His Spirit. It's our privilege to be loved by God. It's our privilege to be alive. So purpose to love one another and love people because that's how we're going to influence. Just everybody in this room has a sphere of influence. That means the people you pass by, work with, associate with, or just encounter. Everybody's sphere of influence is a little different. You'll bump into people this week that other people won't even come near. You work with people that other people will never work with and might never bump into. It's just that way. But watch. You add your sphere of influence and your sphere of influence and everybody's sphere of influence together. That means the people you come in contact with, we have access to a lot of folks. And if we start loving along the way and touching and loving along the way, just doing good things, kind things. It could be paying for somebody's stuff sometimes. It could just be, man, listen, you know, my buddy Todd's good at that. I've done my share of it. You'd be at the counter at the grocery store and there's a mama with two little babies and she's got a pile of groceries and her bill's big and you see her roll her eyes. Because it's like, man, groceries are getting outrageous. And she's digging for her credit card. And you just reach around her and swipe yours. And the cashier's like, whoa, did he just do that? And she goes, sir, what? What? It's okay. Shh. Just receive. It's good to receive. I just want you to know Jesus loves you, and I felt in my heart it would be a real blessing to you and your family today. Somebody paid for your groceries, so I swiped my card. Think nothing of it. He gave His life. I can swipe my card. Come on! It wrecks people. Because there's no string attached. There's no ministry strategy. There's no, now you need to come to my church. But I'll tell you what people do say. Who are you? Where do you go to church?
Well, that wasn't even the reason I did it. Sometimes I don't even tell them right away or straight up. Sometimes I say, listen, I don't think that's the goal right now. I think the goal is that you see I am the church and that He really loves you and there's no string attached to this. You be blessed today, okay? Remember Jesus, He loves you so much. And the cashier, you get to her and she's undone. She's like, that was so beautiful. That was, are you kidding me? People are beautiful to God. We think otherwise, but He shed His blood while we were yet sinners. Honey, do you know Him?
Come on! And you're like this evangelistic machine, and you ain't even trying it. Did you get it?
It just opens things up. I was at Walmart, prayed for this young lady waiting on me, and she has this thing. And I said, sweetie, what'd you do? What you got going on your hand? Oh my goodness, it's tendonitis. It's been there for so long. It should have left weeks ago. They said it would have left, but it's still there, and I think it's worse. She said, I have it on because I can't even move my thumb. If I move my thumb, I will scream. She's real drama, real dramatic. She's like 18, and she's just a talker. And I'm having fun with her. I'm looking at her. I said, listen, I know you're in the job. I don't know if you'd be allowed to let me do this, but I'll do it real quick, and it'll be beautiful if you let me. She said, what? I want to pray for you. She said, oh, she thought it was the sweetest gesture. And I'm like, honey, it's not a kind gesture. I said, listen, it's the power of God. He loves you. And I'm believing that pain's going to leave, so you're going to check it when we pray, okay? Now she's like, okay. Because she was just like, oh, how sweet. Honey, I'm not trying to be sweet. Jesus coming to rock your world. That's what I'm thinking. I didn't say that. So I took her little hand. 10 seconds at best. I said, check it. This girl is a trip. This is one of those once in a while fun things that happens. I've had them a few times. I was in Charlotte Airport a while back. It's a little while now, but I saw two people dramatically healed in the main corridor where everybody is.
And they made a scene.
Like, one was a black gentleman, a loud voice. Whoa! You kidding me, man? Man, your prayers matter, brother! Your prayers do matter! And he's like, praise you, Jesus! And he's just freaking out. When I first prayed for him, he thought it was a kind gesture. And said, well, yeah, that's cool. Prayer matters, man. Prayer matters. He didn't have any idea where my heart was. I prayed, and he said, well, thanks, man. I said, no, we're not done. Check yourself for me. Walk. Do something. You'll know right away. He went, what? What? Whoa! Right in the middle of everybody.
I like it.
Because I'm not trying to do that. I just loved him. Now he's preaching to the crowd.
Come on.
Yeah.
Woohoo! So I touched this little girl. I said, check your thumb for me. She went. She looked at me. What? I said, no, it's real, honey. Check it. Put that thing on. What? I'm here? Watch. Little Walmart suit. Taggy and everything. She's on the clock. Watch. Totally unashamed. Oh my God! People! Jesus healed me! Really? Oh my, she's holding her little thing. I'm telling you, he healed me. This man just prayed, he healed me. It wouldn't go away for weeks. I'm healed! And everybody's like, she's yelling. She's so like drama. And everybody's just like, there's this guy, he's leaning over the pole, he's got a cane, and he's like, her manager and other clerks are like, what is she doing? She's freaking out. And then so I thought, I might as well help. I'm going to get involved. I said, listen, guys, since Jesus is healing and he's here and he's touched this girl, I see, sir, you could, and anyone else, let's just pray. Let's do this. I got to go soon, but man, let's pray. Jesus is here. He's healing. I prayed for 5-6 people before I took 10 steps. I was praying. People were walking up. She's going, really? There's no pain. People are whispering to her. She started it. That. I just loved her initially. She went, wah! And it multiplied. I was in Jackson Airport and watched a lady get out of a wheelchair. It's the most beautiful thing. She was 82 years old, frozen by a form of arthritis. And I walked by her. I had a Jesus shirt on. And Jesus said, I said to Jesus, why is she in the chair? He said, it's this form of arthritis. It's very rare. I said, whoa. I went over. I nodded. I said, hi. She said, hi.
I said, see my shirt? Oh, okay, yeah. And people were like, oh, brother. Right? Seriously. They're like, well, the cuckoo, it's Christian, whatever. They don't have a clue. You don't judge them. They don't know. They've been touched wrong. People have misrepresented a lot of stuff. I said, listen, I was walking by you, honey. I'm heading to my gate. I know you're going to get on your plane here, but I asked Jesus. He's not just on my shirt. He's in my life. And I asked him why you're in the wheelchair. Now, there's a lot of reasons you could be in this chair. But this is what I heard. And I told her, and I said, did I hear right? You did. That's exactly why I'm in this chair. It's frozen my body. I said, listen, honey, if Jesus told me that, I think he wants to change that. He's not into just giving information. Can we just pray? Oh, well, sure. So sweet. I said, how old is he? 82. Mildred. It's an old school name. I took her hand. People are like, oh, brother. Brother, there's a time and place for everything. Yeah. Now is the time.
Now is the day for salvation.
When isn't there a time to love? When isn't there a time for Jesus to be Lord? Come on, it's so weird. I prayed for her, very calm, very quiet, very gentle, certainly riding the momentum in that case of just, God, give me insight, being dead on. I mean, it's so easy to pray. It was like a movie. I said, why don't you check your body for me? Your body would be a real easy test. You've lived with this for years. Oh, yeah. I said, well, do something. Just begin to test yourself and check. She went, well, oh, my. She starts doing it. I said, couldn't you do it? She said, sir, my shoulders were frozen. Frozen. So I had no movement. She's going, wow. I said, so your body's really changed? Oh, and you could see it all over it. Now people are like, I'm not kidding you. I was on a plane with a lady ministering to her, and the guy in front of us had the book on the same page for 10 minutes. So funny. No one reads that slow. It was camo. At least turn the page and be good camo. And the dude's just like, I was laughing. I was talking to her, and I thought, he is on the same page. Because there was a little picture in the corner. I thought, he's listening. This is so fun. And I'm whispering, so he's really listening. So Mildred, I didn't say a word. I just watched her, and tears were in my eyes. And I said, you're really changing. Jesus loves you, honey. He told me this is what you had, and I believed he was going to heal you. She just looked at me, and she said, oh, my. She reaches down. She goes, whoosh, whoosh. She opens her little leg stabilizer thing. She had herself in. She stands up on her own. And I'm just watching her, and people are watching it. Wow. And as she walked, you could see her coming alive. It was like you could see strength come in her. She turned and came back, and I stood up, and I was weeping, and I said, you haven't been able to walk like this? She said, sir, I was frozen. I said, how do you feel? She said, there's just one, like a little pain right here. I can move, sir. There's just a little pain, that's all. I said, put your hand there. Everybody's listening. I'm like, nobody's in the room, though. It's just Mildred. I love her. And I don't even know her. How can you love her? You don't even know her. She's made for God's image. She's a human being. And there's a time to be born. She's precious to God. Every person has the same price tag. I put my hand on her hand. Hip, you be healed. Every pain you leave, body be free. I said, take a couple steps. She said, that was my answer. I said, listen, honey, this is beautiful. I have to get down to my gate. I got to grab something at the register over here and get down to my gate. I wish I could talk longer. I love you. Jesus is real. He lives in me. He wants to live in everyone. He loves you, Mildred. She hugged me like I was her favorite grandson. And then I head down, right? So I get down and I'm getting a thing of water and something, and I'm ready to get on my gate, my plane, because it was about boarding time. Small airport, and a guy was talking, ran kind of close anyway. And I hear this voice, and I knew it was Mildred. I look down, she's at her gate, in front of the seats of the people that were wigged out by me. They're not threatened by Mildred. They're wigged out by my t-shirt. They're trying to make a statement, trying to rope them in, trying to brainwash them, change their belief. I don't know what people are thinking. But they can't get out of this. And Mildred, I'm listening to her and I'm standing there going, God, this is evangelism, this is revival, this is your will. Mildred, did you see that? I'm frozen. I'm in the chair. I haven't moved my shoulders for years. That man, he had a shirt on about the Lord. He knew what form of arthritis I... It was the Lord. He prayed for me. Look at me. And she goes... She said, people! And she's doing these calisthenics, these windmills. She said, I couldn't move. He prayed. Look at me, people. And I'm like, preach, Mildred. Preach! And I go, now watch. How are they going to get away with that, around that? And they got to deal with that. You can do all you want, harden, whatever that is. It's pretty hard to run from that. Some sow, some water. The miracle sounds awesome, but it's just the beginning for Mildred and most of those people. But that starts somewhere, and that's love somebody. If we don't stretch out our hands and pray, we've probably already got nothing. So don't be afraid of nothing. Or you already got nothing. You guys good? We can do this. Be your own best. I don't give a 1, 2, 3 approach this, say this. We're not robots. We're people. We're unique. You have your own personality groomed in God, and I have mine. You're not trying to be like me. You're not trying to be like Todd. We're following Jesus. In fact, nobody's going to be like Todd. Todd is Todd. He's a trip. But you talk about a lover. He's a lover. I spent a lot of time with my buddy Todd. And he is a lover. I was in a car with him and I was trying to train his bladder. Because he drinks so much water. He's worse than a youth group. Like one man is worse than a whole youth group. Because when you stop with a youth group, 4 go and 3 don't. And 2 try. And you tell everybody to go. And he said, well, I can't. Well, you better go because half hour down the road you're going to need to go. And we're here. And that's a youth group. Yep. And you all get in the car in a half hour. Pastor, I really got to go to the bathroom. But Todd's like that every half hour, 40 minutes without the youth group. He just drinks all this water and he's always like, dude, don't you ever have to pee? I'm like, not like you, my friend. I said, if you're going to roll with me, we got to discipline your bladder. He says, oh, that's just wrong. Just park. Just stop. Just get out. I got to get out. I said, no, we need to train you a little. So I'm driving. He's like, this ain't right. Dude, this isn't right. I'm going to make your seat wet. I said, don't you make my seat wet. I'm going to. And I said, I'll pull over. You just need to practice some longevity here. We can't be stopping every 40 minutes on a 7-hour trip. We'll never get there. And I'm not used to rolling this way, so we're going to discipline your bladder. He's like, this is just wrong. This is just wrong. So then he's finally like, now, dude, this isn't funny anymore. He says, we got to stop. I said, okay, you done good. This is a good first training session. Basic training. I said, look, the Golden Arches. It was McDonald's. I said, there's a bathroom. He says, oh, thank you, Jesus. I get off the exit. Because I told him I don't like to just go looking for a bathroom. I want to pull off, go, and get right back on. Because he travels and takes forever getting places. Because he talks to everyone, prays for everyone, but he stops a lot. And we pull in. I mean, this guy, this is the real story. This guy is like, he doesn't look like he's going to make it to the bathroom. Because psychologically, did you ever go so bad that as you're going to the bathroom, it's like you can't even make it, you can't hold it, you waited too long. It's like, oh my goodness. I've had that experience in my life. On tape. And And Todd gets out of the car, and he's like, thanks, dude. Oh my gosh, you stretched me. And he's just having fun with it, and he's being a good sport, and he's not mad at me at all. And he gets out, and we're just laughing about it. And he gets out, and there's this lady over in the parking lot, and she's walking, and he goes, I watched it. He got out of his car, of my car, and he goes, oh. He just went, oh. I heard him groan. And he just turned, and he just took off right for her. He's over there talking. He's just doing, well, he had dreads growing out then, and he was big. He's like really trimmed down now, but he was a big boy with dreads. And he's boom, boom, boom. And then we're way down in West Virginia, and this lady looks up, and here comes Todd running across the parking lot. Boom, boom. It was probably frightening. Because she went. But when you look in his eyes, it dismantles everything. When you really look in his eyes, he does what Todd does so good. He stops 25 feet away from her. I see him hold up his hands, and he's easing in. He's talking, it's okay. And all of a sudden I look and he's crying. He's got to pee. Like he's really got to go. And he's just crying. And I see him talking to her and I see her like this. And he gets real close. And he's, next thing you know, he's down. And he's just on her feet like this. And he's praying. And next thing you know, she's walking. And I'm just sitting watching. And she's going. And he's like, they're hugging. It's like a movie. Here, she broke her foot or did something when she was a little girl. Lived in the backwoods, had no insurance, didn't have close medical stuff. This was a lady that could have been probably our mother / grandmother. And they just left her foot heal. She was never able to walk on it right her whole life. Todd prays for her. It's completely healed. She's walking with no pain, no obstruction. She's overwhelmed. He ministers Jesus to her. She says, I want to know this Jesus that I see in you. They pray. She gets saved. Evangelism. Love one another. He comes over. He's like, dude, did you? I said, man, isn't life a gift? Dude. We're just hugging. I said, didn't you have to go to the bathroom? He says, man, I'll go. Yeah. It's like he didn't even have to go no more. It's love. It's beautiful. Isn't that awesome? He's ready to go in his pants. And he goes, oh. And God overtook that. And he left her. And her foot was healed. Isn't that sweet? We pulled into a Wendy's late at night when his eating habits were very not good. See, I can talk about it now because his eating habits are very good. He goes, dude, I want a cheeseburger. I said, a cheeseburger? I said, it's 1 o'clock, man. Let's just go back to the room. Dude, I'm hungry. I want a cheeseburger. I said, okay. I said, I'll pull in. And I pulled in. And he says, just get me this, get me this. And I said, I thought you just wanted a cheeseburger. Lady gets on the intercom. Hello, welcome to Wendy's. Can I take your order? And he says, oh, she is going to get it. I said, you get a word for her that quick. He said, it's a pinched nerve going down her left arm. It's hurting her back. She's going to get it. I said, I love you, man. And I said, yeah, you can help us. I said, give me this and this and this. I guess you're helping us. I gave it to Todd. He leans in. He has his big old dreads. He says, hey, honey. How are you tonight? She said, I'm fine, thanks. Just kind of a little distant, back like, yeah, hey, whatever, I'm doing good. He said, oh, except that pinched nerve shooting down your left arm. Oh my God, are you psychic? Well, kind of, but not really. I'll explain later, it's going to get better. Give me your hand. Oh my God, what are you doing to me? It's called the love of God. It's His presence. He's making you whole. Check it. Tell me if there's any pain. Oh, my God. Right at Wendy's. He said, listen, I'm not psychic. Jesus lives in me. He wants to live in you.
It's really fun. 1 a.m. Loving people.
Just loving people. We're stuck on a highway. Accident. Traffic jam. Ridiculous. 4 lanes. As far as you can see. Cars. And nobody's hardly moving. And we're just like sitting there, and he's like, dude, you got to pull up. I said, where am I going to go? But you got to get up to that guy's window. I said, Todd, chill. It'll work out in Jesus. I can't go anywhere. Okay. Car moves. You got to move up. Hey, ho. Window. What's up, man? Here's Todd. Hey, man. But if you look in his eyes, oh my goodness. He says, dude, you got like this kink in your neck. Your neck's really bothering you. You got a lot of pain. How do you know about my neck out here on the highway, man? How do you know about my neck? It's hurting, isn't it? His girlfriend's in the car. Is it hurting? Yeah. How do you know? Listen, man, you're going to love this. I'll explain in a minute. Put your hand on your neck. Right where it's hurting. We're in the middle of a traffic jam. Say this with me. Say it loud. Father. Now, a lot of people would disagree with that. You can't have him call God Father. Well, Father means come forth from. I bet God is his Father. He just doesn't know it. Probably ought to introduce him to Papa. Well, he needs to qualify to call God Father. Maybe he qualified because he's made by him. Come on. He said, Father, thank you for no more pain. For no more pain. Pain, leave. Jesus' name. For all we know, this guy might have only used Jesus' name when he was frustrated. Oh, Jesus Christ. Mida. Jesus' name. Check your neck, man. Tell me, this guy's doing all this crazy stuff. Looked like he needed prayer afterward, you know? And he's like, dude, are you kidding me? What? His name is Jesus, man. He came to save you. He came to save the world. He lives in me, man. He rocked my life. 22 years crack addict. He's telling his whole testimony across traffic. Jesus, come on, man. It's time to receive him into your life, lady. Just love. You could be sitting there complaining about traffic. You could be sitting there all about me. Man, God, if you love me, why did I get stuck in this traffic? What did I do to deserve this? Why didn't I have foreknowledge to take the back road? God, I need to grow prophetically. You could be all distracted in that traffic, or you could be a lover. Amen? Yeah. So now I am done because it's 12. When I close my Bible, it's serious. This is my fourth and final closing. That was a long one. So it's your privilege to love. Why don't we stand to our feet and let's just close and do this. Let's just do something. No matter what you want to do, I'm not asking you to do anything specific, but whatever means something to you, you can put your hand on your heart, you can raise your hands to God. Let's contact Him. Let's communicate right now. And let's take what was taught and receive it as ours and make it personal and be a big yes to God, okay? So, Father, we just thank you right now. We just receive your wisdom, your truth, your word, the life of Jesus, an example, some of these testimonies, men and people that have been living epistles. And we say, what an honor to be given these good things. And God, we receive your love today. You have reconciled us. There is nothing that keeps us estranged. There is nothing that can separate me from you but me not accepting your love. And today I say thank you for loving me. Thank you, you have delivered me. And you have placed my feet on solid ground. You are the Lord of my life. And you are growing in me in understanding. You have delivered me. You have strengthened me. You have quickened me today. And through Christ you have made all things right. So God, I thank you that you're forming my heart in love. Teaching me how to receive your great love. And I thank you, you're causing my eyes to see what's always been there about me and concerning others. And I thank you today, you're increasing my life as an expression of who you are. Let men know you because they've met me. Let these things happen in my life freely because of your love. I'm not afraid of that, God. I'm created for it. And I will not run from why I'm here.
Thanks for loving me.
In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I thank you for your grace on these people. I thank you that you increase us in love and intimacy. And I thank you that your wisdom rules always in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Bless you. That's what was in my heart. It was just a good teaching morning. Amen?